Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. Our next guests are part of the creative team behind the play Blue Ticket. We're here to preview next week's world premiere. We have Maureen Longworth, or Mo. She is the playwright. Mo, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. And Roblin Gray Davis, director, wearing his director hat today.
Hey, Scott.
Nice to see you, Roblin. All right. So Blue Ticket opens. The world premiere is technically next Friday, the 18th. Is that right, Mo?
That's right.
Okay. But there is a pay-as-you-can preview on Thursday, right?
Thursday night at 7:30.
And it runs through
at McFeeters.
November 3rd.
That's right. We have shows Thursdays through Sundays for 3 weekends, starting on October 17th. And all the shows are at 7:30. Except on the last day, November 3rd, it's at 3 p.m., and no show on Halloween.
All right. And we will link to all those details and remind you of them before we go off the air today. Blue Ticket Ferries Out of Alaska, is that the full title?
That's the full title.
Got it. It's billed, or I think of it as a historical fiction, right? It's all based on true stories. Take us back to when these stories came from.
These stories came from the 60s, and if you can imagine the climate and atmosphere then, Juneau was a much smaller place. It also was, along with the rest of the United States, just out of the McCarthy era of the late 50s, where people were really even jailed and deported for their beliefs. And in the 60s, Hoover was the head of the FBI, and there was a threat of communism that was at least threatened to United States citizens by Hoover. And they eventually equated homosexuality with being communist. They also said it was a contagious disease. And the answer to it all was to get rid of homosexuals in your towns to make it safe.
I mean, they essentially exiled people from Juneau.
That's correct. And not just Juneau, but in Juneau, we did that.
They were given blue, literally a blue ticket. Is that right?
Yeah. Interesting. I think there might have been pink tickets maybe on the steamship. But people tell me that when the ferry came in 1963, that the one-way tickets south were blue. And that was sort of coincidental because the term of blue tickets had started up in the gold rush in the Yukon long ago and was used as a catch-all term for getting rid of undesirable people. And so in the days of, you know, trying to establish some kind of safety and law and order, sometimes a blue ticket meant putting someone on a horse, getting them out of town and hanging them on a tree. And other times it meant giving them a ticket out. And I'm sure down south it means putting them on a train or bus one way and just getting them out of your town so you don't have to worry about them.
Remind us when you first got to Juneau and when you first heard one of these stories.
It was in 92, and in fact, November 92, and I was told that there weren't many gay men in Juneau because they'd been sent away in the 60s. And I was moving from the San Francisco Bay Area, so I was pretty shocked. And I also suggested that at the 4th of July parade that we develop a contingent and march for LGBTQ rights in the early 90s. And I was told that people couldn't march in Juneau without paper bags over their heads because they'd need to keep their identity concealed.
People
were really affected by the fact that there had been this sweep. One of the people I interviewed at, she calls it a roundup, you know, that the roundup happened, and she thinks about 100 men were sent away.
Okay. Wow. I want to talk more about that in just a minute. Roblyn Gray Davis, you're directing this play, an accomplished theater artist. What are some things that you're noticing about this story? What made you decide to sign on to this project?
Well, it is such a tragic story in our history, and I had never heard of it before encountering Moe's play. So I think it's a really important story to go out there and tell to Juno and have us kind of maybe think about the subject in our history and maybe do some reconciliation around that. But it is a heartbreaking story, but it's also written with some heartwarming notes to it, we can say. So it's both heartbreaking and heartwarming. It's really a lovely story. And our central character of Tommy Naiman, we get to follow throughout his encountering these events that happened in 63, where it's set. We have a wonderful creative team, a great cast of actors, and it's really exciting to start going into our technical rehearsals to see it really come to life.
All right, so it's set in 63, is that right?
That's right.
And tell us more about the setting. What's it look like on stage?
Juno, 1963, Tommy's hometown.
It's a little bit like our town in that we use very simple setting and create it a lot with description and acting within the set. And Jim Simard, our chief set designer, and April Mathias have done a great job. It's basically mostly takes place in downtown Juneau and in buildings inside downtown Juneau.
And we're kind of – it's – I see it as the director. I see it very much the stories, almost memories. It's not a memory play, but kind of for our community, it is a memory play. But kind of what we've been playing with is seeing – taking the audience through Tommy's eyes as he experiences these events.
Tell us about Tommy.
Don't tell too much about Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy is a young man. He's in his early 20s and born and raised in Juneau. And he just returned to Juneau after being in college and finishing at Northwestern.
And his uncle.
And his uncle is chief of police and gets him a job on the police.
How old is he, give or take?
21.
Got it.
21, 22, right in there.
And tell us maybe, Roblyn, about some of the people that Tommy encounters throughout the play.
Well, let's see. Well, there's a great kind of our town range of the characters. We have the pharmacist, who is the Juno pharmacist, Larry Fisher, and
we have a chorus of ladies, of whom is a local actress named Marge, and she will take over the stage whenever it's possible.
And Tommy's mother, Loretta.
Tommy's mother, Loretta.
Another important character for Tommy.
And a new person in Juno, Helen, who's a recent immigrant from Europe.
Okay. Back to the inspiration for this play, Mo. When did you decide to take these stories and write them as a play?
It was about 4 years ago. And because I'd mostly done writing that was nonfiction, I assumed I'd write a book. And it just, you know how it is when you're an artist, when you're a writer, there has to be a stream you jump into, and then it works. And that stream was not available. And I took a course in intensive playwriting, and I'd done some playwriting ever since I was a kid, but I at the University of Iowa, and immediately the character of Tommy and another character named Gary came to me on the first assignment the teacher gave us, and then the whole story just – it was literally like jumping in a stream. The story just unfolded with Tommy being the central character. So it was great. It feels like a gift. You know, the fact that I was given all these stories, I have over 50 stories that I've collected. And a lot of them are corroborations where one person tells me about the teacher who was sent away that was their favorite teacher, and then at least probably 6 or 10 other people tell me about that teacher. In fact, just this week when I was in a breakfast place, somebody ran into me that didn't know about the play, and I told him about it, and he literally got tears in his eyes talking about his teacher who was sent away. And he ended up coming and talking about his teacher at our COPA benefit on Monday night. And these stories are just heart-wrenching, that how people missed these people and how touched they were by these people, how good these people were in our Juneau community, to then just be disappeared overnight. And I think what people maybe might not realize is, you know, people walked away from their homes, their jobs, their whole lives, and some of them literally overnight without being able to prepare. One of the people I interviewed said that one of his best friends in school just didn't show up again ever. And he came back for a Juneau High School reunion like 10 or 20 years after the class had graduated, and said that the reason he never came back and said goodbye is the police came and put his family on a ferry in the middle of the night because his dad was gay. And when they got to Seattle, his parents separated, and he never got to come back and tell his friends that what had happened. And then he came back.
And that's not to mention even the abuse of power and the gross infringement of the civil rights of citizens in Juneau. So
earlier, Roblin, you mentioned that this is heartwarming. Maybe you both can take this. How do you take such a heavy, tragic story like this and make it heartwarming?
Love.
Yep.
Love is the answer. You'll fall in love with these characters, especially our Tommy, wouldn't you say, Robin?
Yeah, love and acceptance.
Yeah.
And Mo has done a really wonderful job. It is historical fiction, but I think you also like to refer to it as a romantic thriller.
It is.
So we'll put that out there as a maybe an enticing title for people to come and see the show.
Yeah, there's a mystery that goes on in it. Because, you know, when you think about it, imagine what it was like for a man in that time in Juneau if they knew this was going on and they knew that any minute their doorbell might be rung. So there is that kind of tension that develops in the story.
Okay. Remind us when and where we can see this play.
You can buy your tickets at the Jack or Hearthside right now. And you can start coming to the show on October 17th. The premiere is on Friday, October 18th at McPheeters, 7:30 p.m. And we're hoping all the shows sell out. So we're recommending you buy your tickets. And then it's Thursdays through Sundays, October 17th to November 3rd. And then one matinee on our last show will close the run at 3 o'clock on November 3rd. There's a talk back on October 19th, Saturday night, after the show. One of the blue ticket people that I interviewed is telling his blue ticket story. And also pre-show talk before the show of our closing on November 3rd at 2 o'clock. Another blue ticket interviewee is willing to tell her story.
A pretty heavy story here as well. Will kids enjoy this? Is this an adult show? How would you describe it?
It's definitely mature content. So,
yeah, it's mature content, but like I think Roblin's bringing his kids. I think that people who it depends on where your kids are at in maturity and understanding. Would you say, Roblin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And middle school and up for mature students, I think would be fine and appropriate.
And if I could say something about relevance, you know, right now the Supreme Court is deciding about infringing rights in employment for all all Americans. And it's all because they want to infringe on rights of LGBTQ employees. And without being solicited for it, our attorney general here in Alaska submitted a friend of the court letter in support of limiting the rights of employees. And so, you know, this is a real threat. And people think this is outrageous. A lot of times when I tell people about the play, especially the people in their 30s, go, crazy. Well, you know, crazy, it's going on today. And so I think it's really, really important that people see the show, that people tell these stories. This is the cornerstone of history on which the discrimination we face today is still based, and we have to do something about it.
Mo Longworth, Robyn Gray Davis, thank you both for coming on the show today. Blue Ticket opens next Friday at McPheeters Hall here in downtown Juneau. It's been so great having both of you on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, it's just been a great creative journey that Mo and I have taken together, and really looking forward to opening. So hope to see you there. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you.